This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
There is no question that AI is a game changer. Microsoft recently embarked on a study with IDC titled Future Ready Business, Assessing Malaysia's Growth Potential Through AI, that showed AI will accelerate the rate of innovation to almost double and increase employee productivity improvement by 60% by the year 2021. That's not too far away when you think about it. So despite the clear benefits, we are still far behind when embarking on our AI journey. Why? Well, this is Tech Talk and my name is Jeff Sandu, and Dr. Zaharuddin Mansor, the National Technology Officer at Microsoft Malaysia, is my guest for today. And it's been a very long time since I last spoke to you. I think it was way back in 2011. Many things have changed since then. Also, last year, Ralph Hopter, the president of Microsoft Asia, said that 2018 is the year of AI. Dr. Zaharuddin, what have we seen over the number of years when it comes to artificial intelligence?
I think there has been very significant progress in AI over the last couple of years. But before we go into that, let's have a level set on what understanding what AI is. I think if you think about AI, is that, you know, these are tasks that are performed by machines that if it is done by humans, it requires intelligence, right? So, for example, planning, learning, reasoning, problem solving, perception and manipulation, these are examples of things that you do requires intelligence. And this is where machines now can be able to do it. Now, it's not new. AI has been around since 1950s, but for many, many years, because of the underlying technologies were not quite ready for AI. So they had this thing called AI winter. Nothing quite moved. So people studied AI more for academic reasons. But in the last few years, what has happened is that because of democratized technologies like, for example, social, mobile, cloud computing, right? This has big data, for example, this has enabled AI to actually come forth, to become a technology that has become viable today. So if you look in the last 2 years, for example, at Microsoft alone, we have exceeded human parity in a couple of areas. For example, in speech recognition, right? Humans are probably about 86% accurate. Machines have already beat that in the last 2 years. In speech recognition, right? Humans have about 5.1% error rate in terms of understanding speech, and today machines have exceeded that. And there's also machine reading comprehension, where humans are at a rate of 88.5% accuracy, and machines have exceeded that. So machines have exceeded certain things that we used to think humans are actually good at. So I think over the last couple of years, there has been significant progress in artificial intelligence due to the fact that the enabling technologies like, for example, cloud computing, like storage, and especially in terms of algorithm that has enabled AI to progress that much.
And it's also become more affordable for a lot more companies to explore on this journey. Hence, we've seen this explosion as well,
right? Absolutely, absolutely. And because, so one of the problems in the past, to do this kind of, I guess, research, you read quite a lot of data and hardware and so on. And it was just not available at that point of time.
And then the talent as well. And it's just really expensive to invest in all of this.
Absolutely.
It's just now you could do it with a click of a button.
Exactly.
Just using the cloud services.
Absolutely. And that's what we call democratization of technology, right? So if you think about, if I were to do AI, in fact, we did AI back in the 80s, right? You had to invest millions,
yeah,
right, just to get something which doesn't work as well as you see now.
Yeah.
But in today's world, I think individuals like me can actually just buy a PC and actually do AI, for example.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
So it's just amazing.
A lot of startups are actually doing exactly the same route. So why is this important now that, AI brings so many types of different benefits? Can you just sort of break it down to us? What exactly is important in our context today, in the industries that we are in, the region that we are in as well?
Well, AI is poised to really accelerate the pace of what's happening in this fourth industrial revolution. And when we talk about, the abilities for that enables companies and organizations to take advantage of democratized technology to be successful in the era of digital transformation, we're talking about this thing called tech intensity, all right? Where tech intensity is a combination of tech adoption and tech capabilities. And what AI has done is actually really, create this amplification of what technologies can do. So this is where I think, AI is very important because it enables a lot of new things. I'll give you an example, right? In the past, I saw downstairs, there was this security area, right? There's probably about 100 cameras that one person is looking at, right? And I bet if there was something wrong, you probably miss unless it's a big thing happening. But with AI, for example, all these feeds, and you can have even 10,000 cameras, right, being processed in real time by AI, that enables you then to, just have one person. In fact, the person doesn't need to be there. Whenever there's something wrong, for example, there's an unrest or something weird is happening, this system can actually detect it and gives an alert to someone to then look at the details of their, of the monitor and things like that. So it really enables, amplifies the capabilities of human beings, really.
And I guess this is where companies will be able to save, their investments in terms to just the amount of talent that they need to hire. They become more efficient as well. And, as moving into 2019, I guess that is what we want to see in organizations, right?
Yes. I think it's important for us to understand that what AI does is to augment human capabilities and ingenuity, not kind of replace it. Mm. I think humans are still needed. It is actually to make them do more, essentially.
We'll come to the human part, whether are we still relevant later on into the show.
Yes,
but in 2019, how is it shaping up for Malaysian companies in the space of artificial intelligence?
Thanks for asking. So what we did was we did research across Asia-Pacific, across 15 countries, and Malaysia was one of them. And the scope for Malaysia is that we talked to 100 business leaders and 100 workers, right? So the coverage was 50% of large corporations and 50% of small to medium-sized enterprises. And it cuts across verticals, so from agriculture, automotive, education, financial institutions, government, and others. So very interesting findings. I think on the plus side, we say that Malaysians believe that AI will benefit them in the next 3 years, right? We talk about 1.8 times innovative products and services can be created through AI. They're looking about 1.6 times productivity gain, 2.2 times in terms of increase in competitiveness, and 71% of companies and organizations believe that AI will increase the competitiveness of the organization. So, in conclusion, most companies in Malaysia do believe that AI can help them.
But they still sometimes would struggle because we're not seeing a large amount of adoption here.
Correct. That's true. So, let me talk about the adoption in Malaysia itself.
Yeah.
Right? Only 26% of organizations have actually embarked on an AI journey.
26%?
Just 26.
And what type of industry verticals would this be in?
It's across the board.
Across
the
board, right? Across the board, less than half.
Probably about a quarter, right? And out of this, 2% is probably more advanced in the utilization, and the rest, and 24%, is perhaps just kind of toying with the idea. So I would say we are a bit behind, in my opinion. So I think that the main reason why it is important for Malaysian companies to start thinking about adopting AI is that if you think about surviving this fourth industrial revolution, right? Klaus Schwab, the founder and CEO of the World Economic Forum, talks about in this new world, it's not about the big fish eating the small fish, it's the fast fish eating the slow fish, right? You need to be fast. You need to be agile, right? And AI will accelerate the rate of innovation by about 1.8 times, right? That's the belief of even Malaysian companies. And in terms of increasing the productivity of Malaysian workers, companies in Malaysia believe that AI can enhance the productivity by about 60% by 2021.
And that's not too far away
and
from now.
And that's not too far away from now. And you have to, you know. And the thing is, there are, I think that there are five top business drivers in terms of adopting the technology. Firstly is they see AIs in helping them to better improve themselves in customer engagements. Secondly is higher competitiveness because you get all this automation and so on. Thirdly is accelerated innovation because AI really opens up a lot of opportunities in terms of coming up innovative products. Of course, AI will help to improve efficiency. And finally, it will help in increasing the productivity of employees. So these are kind of the top five drivers companies in Malaysia are looking at AI in terms of benefiting them.
I'm speaking to Dr. Zaharuddin Mansor. He's the National Technology Officer at Microsoft Malaysia. And we'll be right back in just a moment. BFM 89.9.
Brewing frothy mocha. BFM 89.9, the business station.
My name is Jeff Sandhu, and this is Tech Talk. Today is a show about Malaysia's readiness in AI adoption, as this is based on the new report by Microsoft Malaysia, breaking down all the jargons and complexity of the artificial intelligence topic is Dr. Zaharuddin Mansor. He's the National Technology Officer at Microsoft Malaysia. So we're behind compared to the neighbouring countries in the adoption of AI. But what areas are we actually lacking here, Dr. Zaharuddin?
I think in Malaysia, the top three challenges are as follows. The first is leadership, right? I think in any transformation, I think leadership plays an important role. If you look at the statistics beyond that 26%, I think quite a large portion are more in a wait-and-see kind of mode. The problem with that is that in this fourth industrial revolution, things are moving so fast that actually time is of the essence. You know? If you look at these very fast companies, the startup, they're talking about a year is really, you know, will make or break a company. So I think the mindset of having this sense of urgency is, I think, a challenge. Still not there in terms of many of our companies here. So leadership is very the first challenge that many organizations have. The second is probably more common across the board, which is actually skilled resource in this area, right? AI has been kind of in a back burner for quite a bit. You know, if you are doing computer science in the past, you find that some universities don't even actually offer AI as a subject because it used to be an exotic thing and very theoretical in nature. But in the last couple of years, it's really become mainstream. It's very important for universities to actually start with to have AI courses, especially in computer science. So skill resources is another area where I think we need to make sure that universities do offer these courses today, as well as the fact that maybe in terms of professional development, I think AI skills is becoming more and more important. The third area is that the lack of ability to leverage on advanced analytics and AI because of the lack of data. We don't have this data culture, right? When this is full, we actually wipe it out, right? But, companies understand the value of data. It's like throwing gold in the drain, actually, right? Mm. So data is now the oil of the 21st century, and that's from Gartner. And it is really true. This is the thing which is really enabling companies to succeed in this new world. And AI really relies on data, right? This is how you actually enables machine to predict and so on because it processes its data, it uses the data to actually do all these predictions.
And it's the volume that counts as well. You can't work with small volumes of data. It will never show you the right way to move forward.
The more data that you have, the more accurate the predictions will be. Mm. Of course, with certain approaches and techniques that you have to apply.
All right. And that's where the complications then later moves on. And that's where, you know, experts like yourselves, I guess, will help out with companies and organizations.
And that's where the fun is.
And that's where actually the fun is as well.
Yeah.
And it's interesting that you mentioned, you know, in the first area, it's more of the mindset needs to change because we always have this wait-and-see approach. And now it's 2019, right. The Industrial Revolution 4.0, it's already here. Standing still is literally falling backwards in today's day and age. What else can we do to change this mindset, to break away and get companies to understand? How have you been approaching different type of companies when you talk to them and understanding, getting them to understand that you can't just wait and see anymore? How has that discussion been so far?
So I think the time has changed, right? In the past, you could take a couple of years, to do things, and really, time wasn't the essence. I think in today's world, as I mentioned just now, what Claude Schwab says, it's about the fast fish eating the slow fish. So companies have to rethink the way they approach business. They have to really, be a fast company, so to speak, right? They cannot, because the longer they wait in terms of moving and adapting themselves, in terms of coming up with new business innovations and so on, I think they're more at risk in terms of being disrupted by companies like, which can come from nowhere, right? So who would, for example, have predicted a company called Uber and now Grab, could really come from nowhere and disrupt the whole transportation industry? And that's just one of the many. We're talking about, how Netflix is disrupting the broadcasting industry, for example, and Airbnb and many of the companies like this coming up from nowhere and disrupting.
It doesn't matter the size of the company, it's the speed of the company.
It's the speed of the company that actually matters, right?
One area that keeps popping up when we talk about artificial intelligence is talent itself. A lot of fear that, it's going to take over our jobs and we're all going to be, stranded in the streets because we won't have a job. Robots will be taking over our cities. That aside, it's actually more of the understanding of upskilling and reskilling, right?
Yes, absolutely.
But yet it seems that organizations are struggling to do this upskilling and reskilling. Is it because they just don't know what to upskill and what to reskill these talents? Or what is the challenge here?
Yeah, I think there's twofold, right? I think the responsibility for upskilling and reskilling, I think, first lies to the person themselves, right? Us, right? We need to upskill and reskill. So if you look at the recent World Economic Forum 2018 report, it says, yes, there's going to be jobs which are kind of going to be not disappear, but it'll be less important. And there'll be jobs which are going to be retained, which is a long list, all right? So there are many jobs which is going to continue on. But there will be a set of jobs which are going to be new, right? Mm. So this is why the retraining and, the mindset of constantly learning is actually going to be very important for us, right? So even me at my age, I'm quite old. I'm still learning, right? I'm starting to take upskill myself in the area of AI and data science and so on, because this is a new areas where the skills are going to be important in, even now, right? These are where the opportunities are. So I think as long as we have this ability and interest to constantly learn, we will actually be protected from this. Now, from an organizational perspective, it is important to encourage their employees to learn, constantly learn, right? New things, because the more that they know, the more flexible they are in terms of adapting to the changes in the company. And companies need to constantly relook at themselves and look for new S-curves so that they can constantly be successful in the longer term.
Mm. Do everyone just need to upskill and reskill in the areas of coding and programming language? Do everyone need to be data scientists then?
Well, not everyone needs to be data scientists, right? I think, but the point is that the ability for you to leverage on technology in what you do is actually going to be very important, right? Because all companies, some people think that all companies eventually become software companies because they need to be agile enough to leverage on technology to actually support their business moving forward because of the need for that speed, yeah?
Mm-hmm. We also have this thing in the report talked about AI leaders and AI followers. What are these two differences and why? What are the traits that makes of an AI leader?
I think the traits that make for an AI leader are those who are really embarking on AI, now. They're not waiting for the others to embark on this AI journey, right? They're looking at the business, say, this is what's required in terms of moving forward and leveraging on this disruptive technologies, and they move forward. While the others, you look at, oh, that guy has actually moved forward with this, and they are the followers, right? Obviously, the leaders are going to have that advantage, right? And in this day and age where, you know, if you talk about companies like, you know, these disruptive companies like Uber and the others, right? It's all about how do I hit my first million customers in the shortest period of time. So it's all about speed, right? So the first mover will always have that advantage, and then they will then have to protect themselves. So if you are a follower, then yeah, you might get some advantage, but you will not be as disruptive as those who are actually leading the pack.
And we need to be in that leader role.
Absolutely.
Because 2021 is not very far away anyways,
it's
right?
Not. I think we need to start now, right?
Yeah, yeah. Is there any examples of an organization that has done well when you look at embarking on this journey and is actually, you know, quite impressive in terms of their journey to artificial intelligence?
There are a few local companies that we know of. I think one will be Doctors to You. And you know, and Cellcom is another one where they leverage on chatbots in terms of interacting with customers. So what this does, it allows, you know, a large portion of customer interaction to be handled by machines instead of real human beings, right? So this really enables you to not only you know, reduce the cost, but sometimes even get, you know, the responses are more consistent and actually solving the customer's problems. The other thing which is nice is this, as the machine, for example, not all problems can be, customer service problems can be resolved by the machine itself. So what you can do is that when you can't resolve it, you can then transfer them to a real person who then actually, you know, responds to the customer, and the machine can learn from it. And as time goes on, the machine becomes more and more capable of responding to much more, you know, a larger portion of the queries that comes into the call center, for example, right? So, but I think this is the tip of the iceberg. I think there's many, many other opportunities for companies in Malaysia and, you know, to really leverage on AI to really be competitive in this new world.
And that's the beauty of AI, is that it keeps learning. Yes. You know, as we go along the journey, it's like a baby that just keeps learning, and it doesn't stop. Even though, you know, it's maturity of like 20, 30 years, it will still keep learning and improvising itself, right?
Absolutely. And this is where data is important. Mm-hmm. Right? So that is why data is the all of the 21st century. It enables this kind of technologies to really learn and, you know, respond to, you know, to the environments, right? Based on the data that you have.
What's the conclusion from the study that you did with IDC that looks at, you know, the readiness of AI in Malaysia?
So very, very interesting findings. I think whilst companies do realize that AI, you know, do bring a lot of benefits, yeah, I think Malaysia can improve ourselves in readiness, and we are a bit behind in terms of adoption compared to the average for Asia Pacific. I mentioned about only 26% of companies have started or experimenting with AI. In fact, only 2% really have started with it, and 24% is just kind of touching it and experimenting it. And in terms of the readiness model, we have this readiness model which has kind of six dimensions, which includes strategy, investments, culture, capabilities, infrastructure, and data. And out of six of this area, we are really behind, especially in terms of investment. So companies are still hesitant in investing in AI. And secondly is data, right? So where, you know, they don't have this data, you know, I say the oil to be able to train AI models and so on, right? So Malaysia, unfortunately, is lower than APEC. When you look at 15 countries across APEC, we are probably a bit lower, especially in these two areas of data as well as investments in AI. And I mentioned just now the top challenges in adopting AI has been leadership, skilled resources, and the lack of ability to leverage on data. That means you don't really have that data to be able to leverage on, essentially. So,
and for those then listening to this, they go like, you know what, I will embark on this artificial intelligence journey. Where do you as Microsoft come in to help organizations in all these areas that we spoke about?
So Microsoft's business model has always been about how do we democratize these technologies, right? After all, AI, you know, and machine learning, they're not easy technologies, right? So what we do is provide a platform that actually enables companies and even individuals today to be able to leverage on these technologies at a very cost-effective, you know, we leverage on economies of scale, and we enable our customers to innovate on top of it, right? Just like we do in the past where we talk about operating systems and so on. Now, AI and data science is, you know, data capabilities are very key in terms of enabling organizations today to be successful.
Dr. Zahar Rudin, it's been a pleasure talking to you.
Likewise.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I've been speaking to Dr. Zahar Rudin Mansor. He's the National Technology Officer at Microsoft Malaysia, talking about the report titled Future Ready Business, Assessing Malaysia's Growth Potential Through AI. And if you missed any parts of this show, you can download the podcast. It's available on the BFM website, or better yet, get the BFM app. My name is Jeff Sandu, and this has been Tech Talk on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.